I'm Frank Vaughn. It's November 18th, 2024, and I have not disappeared. My Remembrance Day message was not so angry that I've had enough. In fact, I think we have a respite here. With the victory of Donald Trump, with the victory of Scott Moe here in Saskatchewan, and with the impending victory of the Conservative Party of Canada, there's a complete sea change moving through North American politics. And you can actually see it with the first topic I'm going to discuss, which is Trudeau announcing a three-year freeze on immigration to Canada, a pause. And I still think this is only in the beginning. Now, I've been forecasting a pivot on immigration for at least a year and a half. Everybody said I was crazy. I said it was inevitable. And here we are right now with the champion of unrestricted, unmitigated immigration announcing a formal pause. Now, the deportation process here in Canada has already begun with the restrictions that are coming in for temporary foreign workers and for international students. Now, Trudeau, of course, in his way, doesn't take responsibility for any of the damage that he's done. All of the damage done to Canada through immigration has been caused by him. It's not accidental. It's not the fault of bad actors. If you lived in one of these countries that's taking advantage of our nation, you would do it too. You'd be smart to do it too. If there was a whole culture of how to take advantage of Canada and its systems, now I don't know how deep you folks have gone, but if you want to go down the immigration rabbit hole, you'll find there's TikTok influencers and YouTubers out there whose entire existence is based on how to advising people in other countries how to completely take advantage of Canada. It's a garden industry. Trudeau created that industry. Don't be fooled by his words. It's entirely him and Jagmeet Singh's fault, this whole mess that we're in. I think they're going to go further. And furthermore, when Polyev finally wins election here in Canada, I think he's going to go further. North America is now entering into a period of time where it's going to heal itself. I mentioned in one of my last videos how post-election in the United States, how I was going to take a day and I was going to enjoy the wailing and gnashing of teeth on the left, which has continued right to this day. I mean, Andrew Cohn, he is just on fire lately with the most ridiculously unhinged takes anyone could ever imagine. I still find him entertaining, but overall, I find the whole thing sad, and more so, I find it tiresome. So I've allowed myself the luxury of taking a break from even bothering to take seriously or humorously the whining and carrying on of the left. Their star is falling. Our star is in ascendance. And there's a very good chance, we can save North America and Western civilization as a corollary. Now, we have this big issue. Biden, on his way to the Amazon forest, which I think is so, I think it's actually oddly symbolic that the people behind Biden allowed Biden to go to the Amazon rainforest, talking about preserving it, being the first U.S. president to go down there, at the same time as he greenlights Zelensky to use long-range missiles in Russia. I don't know what to expect here. These people will burn the world down rather than face accountability for their actions. They don't want to see Western civilization great. For whatever reason, they seem to be in this death cult that just wants us to spiral down the drain forever. Has any president, and I think this might be just the beginning, we will see, but has any president and his administration, when there's a president-elect sitting on the sidelines, it is a courtesy extended by the sitting president to not make huge sweeping changes on the way out the door. Now, this precedent has been a little rocky in the last couple presidential cycles. But this takes it a step further to the point where you're trying to inflame World War III and nuclear warfare before you leave office in an attempt to undermine your political opposition. It's very dangerous. And once again, the world has to depend on the restraint, the self-restraint of strong men and strong leaders. How many black eyes is Putin supposed to get before he responds with the vast military might that he has at his disposal, which he has exercised restraint in using, even in Ukraine. I don't know. I don't know what the expectation can be. It is November 18th today. We are a long way from Inauguration Day. The election was called on the 6th. It's been 12 days. The damage that the administration, the Biden administration, has already done to our prospects for peace can't be overstated. When missiles start falling on the Kremlin, we're in trouble. And we're all just going to have to sit back and see what happens. Now, beyond the immigration pivot, which is ongoing here in Canada, which, I find that particularly juicy. I said I was taking a break from the wailing and gnashing of leftist teeth, but it's very interesting to see how the Liberal and NDP base, which somehow still exists, combine them together, and they're just as large as the Conservative Party of Canada. It's kind of crazy to me how much support they still enjoy. But watching them grapple, after being told for a decade that immigration was the only thing that made Canada great, that we have no central identity, that we are a post-national state, and the only thing that we can do is have a wide open door to anybody who wants to come in. And in addition, we need to fund those people coming in, and we need to promote their culture ahead of our own because our culture doesn't matter for anything. We've been told that. They've been told that. You and I didn't buy in, but the Liberal base bought in. And now, within a few weeks, there's this massive pivot, and they're having an episode of cognitive disassociation, cognitive dissonance, call it whatever you want, but it's got to be pretty hard. You spend all this time unmitigatedly, unreservedly supporting your party and its talking points, only for that party to change without warning, at least for you or for them. I could read the tea leaves a year and a half ago. It was inevitable that this was going to come. And now that Trump's in office, it's just going to come that much harder. No pun intended. Trump's talking about declaring a national emergency to deal with illegal immigration in the United States. That's only going to embolden those ideas here in Canada. And in spite of all the crying and whining and carrying on, if we want to save our country, if we want to have some kind of future, this is just the starting off point. We have to deal with wokeism. Got to get the gender nonsense out of the school. We got to put some ideas back in the closet. They should have never came out in the first place. We're on a very destructive path. Underpinning it all is the demographic crisis, which we are facing. And there's a lot that we can do about that. The current federal government is gridlocked and stalemated because of the hubris of our prime minister and his party. We're looking at a funding crisis here in Canada. I don't know if you know about that, but the fact that we are in a filibuster lockout, or whatever terminology you want, I don't even know what the appropriate terminology is, because we've never dealt with this before. We've never dealt with the idea that we might run into a funding crisis in order to preserve a prime minister and Jagmeet Singh's pension. It's just, this has got to be the low point in Confederation's history. I don't think it's ever been worse. I don't even think it's remotely close. We have raging, psychopathic, sociopathic, narcissistic, evil people in the corridors of power who are only interested in their own self-preservation and their own enrichment. And they're holding the whole nation hostage to the point where they're risking a funding crisis, something that we've never had before. An election can't come soon enough, but I'm very concerned that they will not do what's right. They've demonstrated that they're not interested in doing what's right up to this point. Jagmeet Singh has drawn red lines for Trudeau aplenty, and he's let Trudeau cross them and done nothing. So where's the silver lining? Maybe in the spring. Happy to be wrong on that. But it seems like they're willing to tank and crater the country in order to preserve their economic prospects paid for by you, the taxpayer. We have the Canada Post strike, which I think is just so ridiculous. Canada Post is losing hundreds of millions of dollars. They can't post a profit to save their life. One of their, I don't think he's a bot, but one of their accounts on Twitter, I wrote a post that blew up quite a bit, and it, you know, got some pushback from obviously people who support the Canada Post Union. And this fella came along, and he produced evidence and charts that showed that Canada Post was profitable a decade ago because of the statistics. Excuse me. I'm dealing with some kind of chest thing right now. The statistics in more in closer years, in present years, in our time, are so damaging that he has to go back to 2011, 2013, and 2014 to find evidence that Canada Post is a viable business. And there's this talking point out there. They like to throw out there that Canada Post doesn't – the union is not paid with taxpayer money, which is technically true. And this is a talking point the right needs to understand. It's a crown corporation, but in its mandate, it's supposed to be profitable. And in the middle of their completely unprofitable business model, their union's going on strike for a 23% wage. And they want to expand coverages into sex change surgeries and other madness. They're completely out of touch with their business model. You've got Intellicom running around here delivering Amazon products. Man Meat and Preet are working longer hours and they're just killing it when it comes to deliveries. Canada Post is expensive, can't produce a profit. And look, I know people who work at Canada Post. They're fine people. I like them. And maybe they would add nuance to the conversation. It's not meant to be personally insulting, but look, you can't go on strike. Only unions can, actually. But you can't go on strike when there's no money demanding more money. I always found it funny when I was growing up how GM and the auto workers were always going on strike as the profitability of their respective companies was tanking. GM went bankrupt. Like, it's unions, by their nature, are out of touch with who writes their paychecks. They blame management. Management blames the economy and the unions. But at the end of the day, there's a balance sheet, and it shows whether there's a profit and loss and whether or not there's profits to dip into to up people's wages. Canada Post has a really big problem, and the union's completely out of touch. That's woke nonsense. We might have a pivot on immigration. We don't have an official pivot on woke nonsense. But it's coming, folks. It's always darkest before dawn. Well, it's not even dark anymore. You can see the sun starting to light the eastern horizon. It's coming up. And it's coming up before there's even a change of government. So I think this is a good opportunity to de-stress a little bit. There's a lot of problems here in Canada. There's a lot of problems here in North America. But for the next several years, you're going to see some pushback on all of these problems. It's not time for a victory lap. But if you've been feeling impending doom for the last several years, know that there's a respite. Doesn't mean you shouldn't work for it. It doesn't mean you still shouldn't write your MPs and write your MPPs. I've been doing a bit of that myself. You should communicate to your government, specifically if you have a new government. The government here in Saskatchewan, even though it's the incumbent government, just survived re-election. And in spite of it not being a close election, it was actually a close election. It's interesting how the SAS party took 53% of the popular vote. The NDP took somewhere around 40%. But if a few thousand votes changed in a couple places, the minority of Saskatchewan would be ruling the majority. And they'd be ruling it with a woke government that is going out of fashion everywhere else. That was my biggest concern with the Saskatchewan election, is that we would get a government for the next 4 years that was moving in the opposite direction of the trend. That would be even more destructive. It would make us late to the party. So if I had a message that I could deliver and will deliver to the current government here in Saskatchewan, it's that now is not the time to cater to the left. Now is not the time to get all your MPs to list their pronouns. Now is the time to move in the other direction. Build the bridgehead, build the momentum. This is not a point in history where the left needs to be compromised with. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez removed pronouns from her bio. Might seem like a small thing, but it's actually not. I retweeted Cenk Uygur the other day, and I've been actually following his account. I've always found Cenk to be a veritable source of entertainment. He's very memeable. I enjoy the Dame Pesos compilations. I look forward to them every 2 years, watching the Young Turks melt down. But I don't know if you've noticed, but even they're starting to change. Even they're starting to talk differently. The left's getting it. They're starting to wake up. They're starting to figure out that what they've been doing has been completely wrong. It's like they're coming out of a hypnosis. And you see it in Cortez going online and asking people, like, what are you looking at? What are you reading? They're in an echo chamber, folks. Symbolic of that, for anybody that's on X, is the exodus of liberal minds moving from X to Blue Sky. And they get over on Blue Sky, and that's like, it's a silo. They don't want, this is a refuge for people who don't want to see the other side of the story. So they run there. And then they mass report each other. They create a backlog of reports for Blue Sky to get through. And Blue Sky, all it does is censor inconvenient views. So if you go over there, open an account, and you type the phrase, there are only two genders, you're going to automatically get something suspended, whether it's just the post or it's you. You're not allowed to say that over there, which is why these people are fleeing there. They're afraid of the truth. They're afraid of the alternative. But some folks aren't afraid. They're starting to explore. They're starting to open their minds. So this is it. This is the beginning of the pendulum swinging back. So I think as we move into the winter, this is a really good time to communicate with your politicians. I think that's the best thing you can do. Making videos and everything else is fine. But actual direct communication, whether by email or going to events, going to passport clinics, whatever it is, go and talk to them. Feel them out, but also give your opinions and think about how you give your opinions. Less yelling, less swearing. Try to be less combative. Now's the time to be reasonable. Now's the time to, you're moving into the winner's circle. Instead of constantly losing, you're about to start winning. So you have to win with grace. You don't want to be a sore winner. And that's going to go a long way to opening up some minds around the edges who see, they can sense that something's wrong. They can sense that the ideology's failing. They can sense that they haven't got something right. And so now they're trying to figure out what it is. That's the gateway drug, man. That's the glass of water before the red pill. It's coming down the pipes. So I think there's an opportunity here for personal work, for becoming your best self, becoming a better communicator, losing weight, getting in shape, making the best of yourself as we head into these next few years. And also, being prayerful. I don't care if you're an atheist or not. It's time you started to pray, because we got to get through the next 60 days. We got to get to the inauguration. We have to hope that the restraint of strong men is enough to keep the world ticking along until we get there. There's a term called interregnum. And an interregnum is where a monarch would die, and there was no clear heir to the throne. So all the nobles would have to get together and figure out who was actually going to sit on the high seat. And it's very different from a regency, which is a monarch is too young. It means the throne is vacant. That's what an interregnum is. And even though the thrones aren't vacant, we are in an interregnum of ideology right now. There's big changes coming. Ramaswamy said today, maybe it was last night, Vivek Ramaswamy, if you don't know, he's a politician in the United States. He's going to co-lead the Department of Government Efficiency with Elon Musk. And he says entire departments of the executive branch are just going to have to be deleted. This isn't the same. This isn't 2016 all over again. This isn't 2020. This is a very unique set of circumstances we find ourselves in 2024, an opportunity to change things like we haven't had for generations. And it's not just the United States. It's right here in Canada, and you can see it in Trudeau's announcement of a freeze on immigration. So with all that being said, I'm not done making videos. I haven't retreated or anything. I know it's been a few days, but I mean, I took those few days. I've been getting ready for winter. I've had some plumbing issues I've had to deal with in the house, and I'm still fasting. I'm still losing weight, and I'm still getting in shape. I've been working out harder this week than I've worked out in years. And we're, truth be told, working our way through some weird bug in this house. I don't know what it is. Nobody's overly sick, but my lung on this side is so sore today. I don't know what that's all about, but this is a time for regrouping, for reformulation, for self-improvement, and girding yourself and getting ready for the coming years, because change is coming. And it's a good time, as I said, for prayer. Pray that the world can hold it together long enough for some of these changes to unfold. I'm Frank Vaughn, and I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.